Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome back. It's time for turn our attention to the big game of the weekend. It's the Champions League final. Ala Madrid. Let's go and meet our man in Madrid. It's Kevin Kilbane. Kevin, how are you?
I'm very good, yeah. All's good. Sunny Madrid, beautiful weather. No clouds in the sky, so it's all good. Can't complain, really.
33 degrees today. 33 degrees around kickoff tomorrow night. Is that going to have any impact?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Well, yeah, I think it does. Certainly does. I've been kind of keeping myself in the shade most of today. But it, yeah, it's roasting hot, Jerry. And I think come kickoff time in the evening, you know, the old adage, the lads will be looking to try and get as much fluid on board as possible. But I think it will have an effect as the game wears on, and it will have an effect maybe on one or two of the decisions the managers are going to make regarding the selection of players. Will he play Harry Kane from the start? Certainly with the lack of game time that he's had, or will he just wait for him maybe till after half-time? That's what I think the weather may have some sort of bearing on that sort of decision-making, yeah.
That time in the shade, Madrid obviously home to some of the greatest artwork that the world has ever seen. The Prado Museum, I think, right on your doorstep. Anything of that? Did you go and see Guernica and maybe look? Oh yeah, I can identify with this as a male football fan. Is that you know?
No, in a word, no. I've not been able to see the cultural side of Madrid. I might wait until tomorrow, Joe, or maybe this evening. I'll head in. I'm staying just on the outskirts, just not too far from the airport, not too far from the Wanda Metropolitana, actually. Ah. Literally about 5-10 minutes away from here. So we're just on the outskirts. So I'll venture into town later on, and maybe tomorrow, and I'll come back with a bit more of a cultural experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine tonight in Madrid, Kev top off in one of the Irish bars, going, "Yeah, come on, Spurs!" As a you know, you'll have to.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Totally impartial. You know, I'm doing commentary tomorrow. You know, Jer, on Virgin Media, so I've got to be very, very impartial on the game. You know how it is.
I do know how it is. Yeah, you played for Everton, and you really don't love Liverpool that much. But let's putting all that aside for a couple of minutes. What a season it's going to be for Liverpool if they can actually win this. And if they don't win it, what a heartbreak! What a gut punch! Yeah. What a sickener it will be for that grand adventure they're on at the minute.
Yeah, it will be. It will be, but you can't take away the position that they're in as a club now compared to the position they were in 3 or 4 years ago. It has been an amazing turnaround for the club, because even last season going into the game, they went in as massive underdogs in the Real Madrid game last year. Many people expecting the result to go the way that it went. And Liverpool actually played quite well before conceding some of the goals they conceded. And we know what happened with Carrius, in that game. I think this year, going in, they are heavy favourites for the bookies, and I think it's maybe a bit lopsided in the betting, Jay. I think it should be a bit closer than what it is. You're getting Spurs are quoting around 3-1 now at the moment. I think that's an unbelievable price on Tottenham, given how close the games have been. But you look at the stats on it. Liverpool have won 9 of 14, the last 14 against Spurs. Spurs have only won one of those, Jay. So history suggesting that, or certainly recent history suggesting that Liverpool will win this game. But there's been a lot of close games in the last couple of years, the way that it's gone. Even if we look at the game in the last few months at Anfield, Tottenham were more than in that game, could have won it, had great chances to go and win the match. And that suggests to me that Liverpool are certainly the price that Liverpool are at the moment. Just think it's just a little bit off, I think, from what the actual betting should be.
I would agree with you on that. I think that just for events like this, I think that prices end up getting changed by just the fact that casual punters are. But if you look at that game in Anfield in particular, it wasn't an amazing game in terms of both sides playing to their full attacking prowess. They actually cancelled each other out way more than you might have anticipated. Because a lot of people are saying at the end of this amazing, groundbreaking European football season where we've had everything from the Ronaldo hat-trick for the comeback for Juve to those semi-finals that we had, that we're going to get a great game. And that's not really what happens in finals. Teams get nervous, they play a little bit inhibited, or one team makes a stupid mistake early on. I just have a feeling this game is going to be unbelievably and claustrophobically tight.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's how it's going to be. I can't see it being any different from that. I think that's the one great skill about Pochettino as well compared to Klopp. Klopp goes out with the mindset, we will beat you, we're better than you, we will impose our style on you. Whereas Pochettino tinkers with his style. We only need to look at him across the course of this season. I would imagine he's going to play with a back four in the game, but he's gone with two holding midfielders, he's gone with one holding midfield. If he's gone with five at the back, he's changed the system to suit opposition. Now, that is going to be interesting to see what Pochettino is going to do. Certainly in the midfield area, is he going to try and just really go and press the life out of Liverpool's midfield players, take their ability away of getting on the ball to get through to those lads up front that we know. I think the game will be won and lost in the fullback areas. I think that is going to be the key area of the game as well, Joe. Can Tottenham stop Trent Alexander-Arnold and can they stop Andy Robertson getting forward because of the energy that they've shown? And I think we're going to see a congested midfield. Both sides are going to play quite narrow, man for man almost in the midfield areas. And it will be fullback against fullback, and it's who's going to come on top in those areas, I think, that will win the game.
Okay, so if you're Spurs and you know that this is so important for you, what do you actually do to prevent those two fullbacks from getting crosses in? From, because the thing that you also then have to do is look after Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah.
Yeah.
They can both end up having a huge influence in how well the fullbacks play.
Yeah, most definitely. The position that they take up, they do like to drift inside to create the space, as we know, for Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. I think from Tottenham's perspective, stopping that, Gerard, I mentioned just at the top there, really, what's he going to do with Harry Kane? If you look at Lucas Moura's best performances this season have been with a target man in the side. The hat-trick that he scored against Ajax, the hat-trick that he scored earlier on this season against Huddersfield. He played those two games with Llorente. Llorente did come on at half-time in that Ajax game. So I think Lucas Moura is better drifting in from a wider area, or certainly playing a bit freer if he's playing in the central position off a striker, off a target man. That's what might influence Pochettino's decision to start with Harry Kane, because if Kane's fit, and obviously Llorente is fit, he's going to start Kane ahead of Llorente. That's the way that it's going to go. And I think it might be able to get Lucas Moura a little bit freer and into the game. That in turn, they could be the two key positions to try and press Liverpool's fullbacks back, that they might leave themselves a little bit exposed in the wider areas, because Liverpool do play a little bit gung-ho and they do like to push forward off the wider areas.
So the best way of defending that is to attack them to make sure that they're actually...
Well, it's not necessarily that, but it's certainly playing a bit of cat and mouse with them. They will work incredibly hard, whether that's Son and Lucas Moura. They will work back and help the fullbacks out. They will try and double up. They will try and create the overloads in the wide areas. That's where I think it could be won and lost. But as I was saying earlier on with Klopp, it doesn't matter to Klopp. Klopp's will is, we will impose our style on you. We will continue to press forward. Even look at that Tottenham, or that game at Anfield when Tottenham went to Liverpool. The amount of crack chances they created late on with Tottenham just pushing, Liverpool pushing forward and leaving space for themselves. And that's what I think we could see late on as the game progresses. But earlier on, I'm with you, what you're saying. I think for the first hour, 70 minutes, I think we may see more of a cagey affair, really.
Did he play three centre-backs at Anfield in that game?
Do you know what? I've not actually looked. I know for the last month or two, though, Joe, what he's done, he's predominantly played with four, certainly in the bigger games. I think when he's gone with the three at the back, he's gone with Sanchez, Vertonghen and Alderweireld.
They started that game.
Sanchez does make mistakes. I think he does get caught out. And I think Tottenham look a lot more solid when they've got those two playing as a pairing. And whether it be Wanyama, whether it be Dier, whoever it is that's sitting in front of them, I just think it gives them a bit more stability to go and attack or send the fullbacks forward. And that's probably going to be Danny Rose, I would imagine. And it's probably going to be Kieran Trippier too. Well, particularly Kieran Trippier, brilliant delivery from wide areas. And if you give him a lot of space, he will be putting balls into dangerous areas. So that's what I was meaning with the wide areas. That's where I do think that the two fullbacks from both sides, that's going to be a real key area on how this game's going to be won and lost.
It's obviously great to be an armchair manager and say there's no way that I would pick Harry Kane, given that he hasn't played any competitive football in such a long period of time. But the reason Mauricio Pochettino gets to pick his team is because he's there every day and he sees what he's doing. Is it possible, knowing that the athlete and the worker that Harry Kane is, that he could be sharp for this game? Is that just something that you can do now with modern medicine and modern science? Mm-hmm. And you know that, like, whatever practice they're doing is as close to game simulation as possible?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. I certainly the way that Tottenham play, I think you've probably heard me talking about it in the past, Joe, where he likes to... What Pochettino does with his players, he knows what the players' top speeds are, and he likes every player to be hitting top speed in the lead up to games. And then once you've hit your top speed in the training session, because of and how you're monitored, he kind of tapers the training sessions off the back of that. So Harry Kane will be having to hit his top speed. He'll have to be getting the number of sprints across a certain session. So Pochettino will be quite satisfied then he's ready to play. I would imagine there'll be certain practice games he would have had, but you know as well as I do, you can't replicate that game. And it's nearly 2 months, I think, he's been out now coming into this game. So it's a big ask. Personally, I would probably start him, for the fact is that I think he's probably done enough training. He's done enough of the work probably in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I would imagine now. Certainly since the season finished in the last 3 weeks, I would have thought he's been good to go. And the amount of work that he would have done on the training ground and they would have done as a unit, as a team on this game, I think Harry Kane will be a focal point certainly for that.
It's mad that it's been so long since we've seen these teams play football. How important is that break going to be, and how do they manage that? Do they have like a mini pre-season 2 days after the season finished, or what do they do?
Yeah, I believe both sides got 4 or 5 days off initially after the season. And then you're right, it'd be some sort of mini fitness hit. I would imagine they certainly would have had spells through this. I mean, both sides play with such high energy as it is. So the amount of work they would have done on the training ground would have been replicating the game anyway. So they would have probably been doing real high intensity work over the last 2 weeks in particular. And it would be tapered down maybe in the last 4 or 5 days in the lead up to the game. That's how they would have prepared. So there'll be a lot of work they would have done on the training ground. Mini pre-season, but most of it would have been pre-season work with the ball.
Okay. What do you think is going to happen? Give us a winner.
I think Spurs are overpriced, but I think Liverpool have got the best side. I think Liverpool will probably just shade it.
How important is it for Liverpool to actually get that trophy? Because if you're Spurs, this is a bonus. If you're Liverpool, yeah, it feels like you're cresting into your greatness now. But a setback like this, the week after, 3 weeks after, or whatever it was, losing a league where you get the third most points in the history of the Premier League and you don't win the trophy, like, this could set them back. I mean, I know the point you made about where they've come from, and I buy all that. It's definitely a great place to be. But if you lose this final after last year's final and after losing the league, that's hard.
Yeah, it is. I take all that on board. Mentally, where will they be then next season? But I go back to my point originally, where they were 3 or 4 years ago. When Klopp's taken over, he's taken this club so far on the verge of the Premier League this season with a huge amount of points that they've got. They're on the right pathway. That's what I would think with Liverpool. And I think it will continue to get better and better over the next few years because players will want to play for Klopp. And I think that's a massive pull for any player that, say, Liverpool and Man United are in for a certain player. Man United might be able to pay a bit more money than to get the player, but Klopp will get that guy in because of his personality and what he brings out of the players. I think he can raise players' own standards and get a little bit more out of players. I think that's the way that it is with him. So I think, as I said before, they're on the right pathway. It will be crushing for them, given what they've achieved this season. It will be crushing for them. You say with Tottenham's a free hit at the game. Why not just go out and play with a bit of freedom and a bit of, you know, expression? I think that's the way that Tottenham have played anyway under Pochettino. But Pochettino tinkers his side to suit opposition as well, and he does stop the flow of opposition. So I think that's what will happen. I think we may see two sides cancelling each other out. I think we may see Tottenham coming into this game with a little bit less to lose. That's the way that I would see it. But I think Liverpool, with how Klopp's drilled them, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and look, if they win, it feels like this could be the start of a decade of Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. And you know, even if they lose, I would like that to happen. But football is weird, football is fickle, football is stupid sometimes. And you could see something like another defeat just being something that Klopp gets some sense of despair about. Salah picks up an injury next year, they're nowhere near as good, they go out at the quarterfinals and they don't win the league, and then suddenly, what was that whole Liverpool adventure? Did they miss their moment?
Missed the ball.
So, yeah, like, stuff like that happens in football, and that's why the result is so important tomorrow.
Yeah, it is, and I agree. I can't disagree with what you're saying there, but I think that we do get hell-bent, and we have a focus on winning trophies constantly is the be-all and end-all. I don't necessarily see it like that, Joe. I think Liverpool, as I was saying before, they're playing a great brand of football. I think players want to go and play there. And I think eventually it will come. If it doesn't come this Saturday, I think it eventually will come. I think it will happen this Saturday. But I think it will come. I can't disagree with what you're saying. Sometimes teams do miss the ball and it doesn't quite happen for them. And all of a sudden, then you're chasing your tail and you're looking back what could have been. But I do think that what Klopp has built there is something a little bit different from the norm. That's the way that I would see it.
Fair enough. Good stuff, Kevin. Enjoy the culture, and sure, I might bump into you tomorrow at some point. Good luck.
I will do. Good man. Go on. Take it easy.
See ya. And that is it for part one of tonight's show. Coming up after the news, we're going to be chatting to Aidan McGuinness on Friday Night Racing.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.